one or two kashas on the Indian of Yehuda. Again, the next shir, Mitzvah Hashem, we'll discuss the beginning of the parasha more, about the quarreling and about more what Yosef had on Yaakov, Yaakov had on Yosef. But meanwhile, just have to go to understand the idea of Malchus Yisrael in general. So we know that Yehuda is the shirish of Malchus Yehuda, and Yehuda has the shame Yudke Vavke in his name. And why was it? Why was Yehuda Zerchat to have the shame of Yudke Vavke? We might have discussed this once or twice. In addition to having a Yudke Vavke, he has a Dalet there as well. He has Yudke Vavke with a Dalet. And the Dalet comes before the final Hey, Yehuda. What's the Dalet? Why is there a Dalet before the final Hey? And we know that Yehuda was Zerchat to Malchus. We say it in Hallel. Hoysa Yehuda lekotshoi Yisrael mam shaloysof. Which means Yehuda was Zerchat to Malchus, is Rashi there, because Nachshon and Aminadav jumped into the Yamsuf. The Tosefta in Bracha says that Yehuda was Zerchat to Malchus, b'pnei ma zach Yehuda to Malchus, b'pnei shehoida b'tomor, the story in this week's parasha, because he was moida, he didn't care, he brushed aside the possible busha, and he was moida. What's the connection between these two ideas that he was Zerchat to Malchus? And we know that Jews throughout the ages are called Yehudim. Whichever Shevet they come from, they're still called Yehudim. Why is that? And especially so, we know in Megillas Esther, it's Ish Yehudi Hoya B'Shushan Abira, even though he was from Shevet Binyamin. Is what's the idea that his name Yehuda clings to Klal Yisrael? But the Shoresh, the Yisod HaInyan is the following. What is Malchus? As you all know, that there's 10 midas, or there's 10 spheres, whatever they're called, and we say it every day, L'cha Hashem Agdula, V'Agvura, V'Teferes, V'Netzach, V'Ahoyd, Kichol B'Shemayim, V'Aretz, which is midas Yisod, and then we say, L'cha Hashem, HaMamlocha, V'Amisnase, L'cha Yerosh. Why is it that we go, L'cha Hashem Agdula, G'Vura, V'Teferes, Netzach, and then we say Yehoid and Yisod, and then a new Lecha Hashem when we say Lecha Hashem HaMamlocha. Malchus is one of the 10 midas. Why is there a new Lecha Hashem? But the answer is that if you want to know what midah of Malchus is, in short, the midah of Malchus is the idea of being separated from the Shoresh, from being separated from where we belong. When a person is separated from his source, then he has nothing. When a person is connected to his shoresh, is that's how he has hashpa, that's how he lives. When a person is somewhat a feeling of being separated from the source, then a person feels that he doesn't have anything anymore. That leads to two things. Number one, the realization of what's called in Svarim HaKadoshim, Lesle Migarmei Klum. Malchus is a midah that feels that it's been separated from its shoresh, and on its own it has absolutely nothing. We'll soon explain this in practical terms in today's Melachim. And therefore, because it has nothing, it always yearns to be reunited with a Shoresh that gives it everything. And this sometimes is, in some Bechinas, is explained the same Kesher between a Zachar and a Keva. We know that Chava originates from Adam. Chava feels that she's a Chelek of Adam, that's what she was created from one of Adam's ribs. And therefore she yearns for Adam, says the Pasuk in Bereishis. Vel isheich tekush teshukaseich. She yearns for Adam. She yearns because an akeva represents the idea that she doesn't have any hashpa. In other words, she's completely dependent on hashpa. She doesn't have any of her own resources. The same way as it was for thousands of years, that women stayed at home and the husband went out and he brought Parnassah home and he fed her. That's the relationship. That's the bechina of Malchus. Nekeva in Svarim HaKadoshim, in Kabbalah, is always called Malchus. Malchus is always called Nekeva. Nekeva is the bechina of Malchus. Because the Nekeva is a feeling that I don't have anything on my own. I'm stuck on my own. I'm totally dependent. That's Nekeva. That's the woman. She's waiting for her husband to come back from work in order that she should get some money to go and buy. And she yearns for her husband, because she yearns for where she originates from, where her shoresh is. And when she gets reunited with her husband, that's the greatest simcha. That's exactly what Malchus is. And therefore David HaMelech compiles the whole Sefer Tehillim of yearning. Tzoma l'cho nafshi. I'll just read a few psukim that you're well aware, that you're well acquainted with. Tzoma l'cho nafshi. Kama l'cho besari. Be'eretz tziya v'oyev bili moim. I feel like I'm stuck in the desert without water. That's how much I yearn. A man who's dying of thirst and he's yearning for water in the desert. That's Dovra Melech's yearning for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kayol Tarog al Afike Moyim. Kein Nafshi Tarog Alecha Lekim. Always the same muscle, like being in the desert without water. Dovra Melech wails to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He yells, he yearns. Because Dovra Melech is a Melech, and the Melech feels that he's been separated, and he'd love to be reunited with the Shoresh. Shlomo Melech compiled Sefer Shir HaShirim. If any of you looked at ever at Shir HaShirim, you know, and it's worth saying it. It's a very big Indian to say it, so perhaps from today's Shir we should all undertake never to miss an Erev Shabbos for saying Shir HaShirim. But if you learn through Shir HaShirim, you'll see that the whole Shir HaShirim is the yearning of the Rei to the Doid. The yearning of Klal Yisrael to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Remembering all the good times. Oh, just before you look at Shir HaShirim, just look at the Sefarna's Hakdama. Just look at Rashi's Hakdama to Shir HaShirim. That's the whole content of Shir HaShirim is going through goals. We remember the times we had HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We remember the good times that we reunited with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And now we were separated from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We were sent into Golas, etc., etc. And we yearn for those good times to be reunited with those excellent good times again. That's basically how the Rishonim explain in their introduction to Shir HaShirim, and if you go through the Pesukim, that's exactly what it's all about. Shir HaShirim goes through the Tkufa, the Beis HaMikdash of Matan Torah, the Beis HaMikdash, and then Shuvi, Shuvi Ashulami, Shuvi, Shuvi V'Nechzebach, return, return. That's David and Shlomo, because they are the Malchi Yisrael. And the Malchi Yisrael is the one who feels that I don't have anything, I've been cut off, and I yearn to be reunited. Like the Nekeva that yearns to be reunited with Ishech to Shukosech. And why is it Be'emes on Shabbos that we are Erev Shabbos that we say Shir HaShirim? Because he knows Shabbos is the last day of the Bria. And altogether the seven Midas, Lecha Hashem, Gdula, Gvura, Teferes, Netzach, Hoyd, Yesoid, and the seventh one is the Midah of Malchus. Shabbos is the Midah of Malchus. Shabbos is the Midah where we yearn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be reunited with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Shabbos is in fact a feeling where we do get reunited with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, even though one mustn't say any bakashot on Shabbos, one is not allowed to pray for any ill people, one is not allowed to talk about any negativity bichlal in our history, but nevertheless, all the tefillos of Shabbos, especially Luchadoini, is lock, stock and barrel talking about one thing, crying. Let's return. Migdash Melech Imelucha, kum itzi mitoicha feicha. Rav loch sheves beimek abacha. Hisnari meyafa kumi. Who are we talking to here? We're talking to the middle of Malchus, as far as Makdashim say. Because Lachadoidi Likraf Kala, the Kala is the Nekeva, she's the Malchus. And during the week, she yearned. During the week, she yearned. On Shabbos, she's Zoicha to get reunited with her Shoirish. And that's why Shabbos is Soif Maisa, the Machshava. Tchila, Malchus is the Soif Maisa. And on Shabbos, it gets reunited, it feels to get reunited with a Machshava Tchila. And that's the whole Lachadoidi Likraf Kala. That's why we sing, and that's the Simcha of the Zachar and the Keva being reunited. The Malchus, the Shechinah HaKadosh, that gets reunited with HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachu. That's Shabbos, because Shabbos is the middle of Malchus, and therefore, even though one mustn't say any Bakashot on Shabbos, the Shabbos is full of Bakashot like Shir HaShirim, which we say on Erev Shabbos, to be completely, once and for all, completely reunited. Because having felt the feeling of what it means Me'ain on Shabbos to be reunited, we yearn even more and even more to be completely reunited once and for all with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like a person in the desert who's told that there's water in a mile or two, so suddenly he yearns for it so much because he's headed to Ima, he knows it's ahead of him. That's our feeling every single Shabbos. Esav's Malchus is the opposite. We know that last week's Parsha ends going through all the Malchei Edoim. And what's the common theme through the Malchei Edoim? Sorry? Oh, right. Those sukkim. I love the very interesting thing is that every pasuk, one pasuk, ve'elam alachem eshamochel beretz Edoim, then from pasuk lamed gimel till the end, before the yimloch, there's a vayomos. Vayomos bala vayimloch, lamed dalet. Vayomos yeva vayimloch, lamed hei. Vayomos chushom yimloch, vayomos hadad vayimloch, vayomos samloch. Esav's Malchus is a Malchus of Misa. Why? Because Esav says to Yaakov, Yeshli Rav, I've got lots of my own. I'm not dependent on anybody. I am not feeling that I am in a keva, that I'm yearning, I'm waiting for my husband to come home, for the Zohar to come and feed me. Esav says, like we mentioned last week, I'm completely independent. And never really, Esav goes against the very foundations of Malchus. The foundation of Malchus begins with a feeling that I haven't got anything on my own. Nekeva. And Esav, he kills the whole idea of Malchus. Esav's idea of Malchus is just the opposite of the Amistic idea of Malchus. Now I'll bring you a proof. Who's the greatest snorer in a country? Who collects taxes? Where do all the taxes go? The king. The king's a beggar. Why? Because really the king doesn't have anything and we are feeding the king. He's a schnorrer. He does it in a nice way that he sends his ministers to collect taxes. But really, we're giving him, we're feeding him, we're feeding the king. Because the melech corresponds to Malchus. And the whole mile of Malchus is that he feels that he doesn't have anything on his own and therefore he yearns to be reunited with the Shoyrish. That's Malchus. But Esav says, Yeshli Rav, says Rashi in his last week's parasha, Yeshli Harbe Yoise Mikdei Tzrochai. I don't need anybody, I've got much more than I need. I'm overflowing with my own resources. Is that Malchus? That's killing Malchus. Vayomas vayimloich, vayomas vayimloich. In other words, he never gets reunited with his source. If he never gets, and the whole idea of Malchus is to yearn to go back to the Shoresh. And if Esav never returns to the Shoresh because he feels that he has his own, he's dead. Is that the Malchi Edom, the dead Malchi Edom? Masha'enken Klal Yisrael, and these are the Malchim Elochim of the Omas Olam. The Malchim of the Omas Olam are the Bali Gaiva. That the Chayra, they say that. They feel that they are neither afsioi, they are everything. But really they go against the whole idea of Malchus. David HaMelech represents Malchus. And then he says in Kapitel Kuf Lamed Aleph, Per Kuf Lamed Aleph, which is the Gematria of Anova, he says, David, like Gova Libi, Vloy Lachti Bigdoilas, but it flies me many. He talks about his Anova, that really he's a bottle of a vuttle, and he doesn't feel like he's anything. He represents Emistic of Malchus. The koyach of being reunited with the koyach, with the source, the koyach for the nekeva to be reunited with the source is the more she feels that she's dependent on the source. The more the woman feels she's dependent on the husband, that's the closer she'll be reunited, and that's the closer she'll feel to her husband, and that's the closer hashpa she'll get from her husband. Divorces are because women are on their own. Women have their own bank accounts, their own credit cards, they work on their own, and sometimes their business goes better than the husband, and if the husband needs a bit of extra pocket money for himself, he has to beg his wife for it. So the whole idea of the relationship between a Zohar and a Nekeva is completely warped today. Really, the Nekeva is the Malchus, and she yearns for her husband, and her husband's Mashpia, and that's how they build a relationship together. Because she originates from him, he doesn't originate from her. Is the more the Nekeva, the more the Malchus yearns and feels that it's dependent and it wants to be reunited, is that's the more, that's the closer to be reunited, and that's the greater feeling it's going to be when she is reunited, and that's how she's going to get, and that's how she gets her Ashpa. When the husband feels that the woman is dependent on her,
him,
speak after her. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels that we are dependent on him, and then he wants to be Mashpia to us. But if it's Esav, that Yeshli Rav, I have everything, is then we don't, then they don't build that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then Hashem is not Mashpia. And that's why David HaMelech says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, you are Chiyasani Miyar Dibor. You are Hashem Elisam in Sha'ol Nafshi. Without you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm in the grave. I'm in the Sha'ol. You are the source of Chaim. Without you, I don't exist bichlal. And that's how David HaMelech is the Melech. That's how David HaMelech is he gets the Hashpa. Because he feels so dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the beginning of Shabbos. Shabbos is the beginning where we yearn, because Shabbos is Malchus. We feel dependent, and that's why Kihi Makar HaBracha. That's why Shabbos is the Makar HaBracha, because the more you yearn, the more you feel dependent, Because the more HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mashpia, the more you awaken, let's talk about Zachar and Akeva, the more the wife feels dependent, that's Moira that awakens the taiva of the husband to feed and to be mashpia onto her. That's how the relationship is built up. And that's how the relationship is built up between the Bria and HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. The more the Bria feels, the more the Malchus feels that it's dependent on Hashem, that Kaviyochel awakens Kaviyochel the taiva for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be mashpia onto us. And therefore, even though on Shabbos no mon came down on Shabbos, but Shabbos was the makar for the mon that comes for the whole week. Because there's no mon on Shabbos. We call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we yearn. We see we're dependent on you, we have nothing. That feeling that we have nothing, that brings down the hashpah for the whole week. And that's why it's all in the same lechadoidi. Likra Shabbos lechu v'necho ki hi mekoyer habracha mirosh mikedem esucha soif masa mamachshava techilo. Feeling that we are the end, we are dependent, that brings down the hashpa. That's why Yehuda has the shame Yudkei Vovkei in his name, because the Yudkei Vovkei is the koyach that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mashpia to the Bria. It's Yehuda that the shame Elikim is the shame that stops the hashpa. It's a shame that minimizes the hashpah. That's why the shame of the kim is midas hadin. It minimizes the hashpah. And the yudke vavke is the or, is the koyach of hashpah. And that's why it's a pasuk in Tehillim that says, Kishemesh umogain Hashem elikim. Kishemesh umogain havaya elikim. Which means the yudke vavke is the bechin of shemesh, and elikim is the bechin of mogain. On the shemesh, we know there's a narrative around the shemesh. The lekim minimizes the light, and the sun, that's the light, that's the koyach, that's the hashpo. Is Yehuda? He is the feeling that he doesn't have anything of his own, and therefore Hashem is mashpia everything to him. Yehuda has the letter dalet before the word hey, before the letter hey. Why? Again, I'm not going into the Chelak HaKabbalah, but with Yehuda, the Yudke Vovke corresponds to these seven midas, or the ten spheres. The Yud is Chochmah, the first Hey is Bino, and the Vov are the six midas of Chesed Gvurah, the first Netzach Hoyd Yesod, and the last Hey is Malchus. In Mela, therefore, the Dalet before the Malchus means that Dalet comes from the word Dalas. Dalas means poor, as the Gemara in Shabbos says, that Gimel Dalet means Goimel Dalim, being Mashpia to the poor people. Dalas. Dalet is the middle of feeling that we're poor, we don't have anything of our own. Is Yehuda has the letter Dalet before the last Hey, because Yehuda corresponds to the real Emesik of Malchus. And the real Emesik of Malchus originates from the final Hey of the Yudke Vovke, and the Dalet before that represents the feeling of Dalas, of we're poor, we have nothing, we're dependent on you, and that leads to the final Hey, which is the Emesik of feeling of Malchus. And that's why Yehuda carries Yehuda Mishem Havaya, which is the Koyach of Ashpa, because he feels the Dalas, he feels so poor, and that's how he goes up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu feeling so poor, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mashpia all the Hashpas to him. Oh. Where does Yosef come into the story? The answer is the following. Yosef, we know that there's a Mashiach ben David and Mashiach ben Yosef, and we'll discuss in Eretz Hashem the differences between them in the next year. But we know that Yosef Lovei, what's going to happen to Mashiach ben Yosef? He's going to die. There's a Bechino that we're going to do, he's going to be done away with. He's going to die, he's going to get killed, and Yosef Lovei, there'll be Mashiach ben David, Bechino of Yehuda. Till that comes, is then we have a Yosef. Which role does Yosef play in everything we've been talking about until now? David HaMelech, Mashiach ben David, we just said this Midah HaMalchus. Which Midah is the one before the Midah of Malchus? Gdula, Gvura, Teferes, Netzach, Hoyd, next, Yesod, and then Malchus. The Yesod, that's the Midah of Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef HaTzadik is the Midah of Yesod, which is one before Malchus. Why is Yesod one before Malchus? Because Yesod is Mashpia to Malchus. Yosef HaTzadik is the Makar of Hashpa down here in this world. Which means the following. All that we discussed before, that like on Shabbos, Malchus goes up all the way to its Makor, then he gets a Hashpa, that's the type of Hanhaga that's going to be lost at Lavoi. That's why Shabbos is Me'ein Olam Haba Yom Shabbos Menucha. Lasid Lavoy, the Bechin of Malchus, is going to go all the way up to where it originates from, to the Makar, and that's how it's going to have the Hashpa. But in Golos, it doesn't work like that. In Golos, Malchus gets its Hashpa through Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef HaTzadik is the Makar Hashpa. In other words, all Hashpa comes through him in Golos. How do we know that? Without going into any deep Kabbalah, we can know that from Mishnah and Mikra. Now we know in the next few parashas what happens to Yosef when he gets to Mitzrayim. Says the pasuk that Yosef is the Hu Hamashber. The Yosef Hu Hashalit Al Oretz in parashas Miketz Perik Mem Beis Pasuk Vav Hu Hamashber L'Chol Am Oretz. And whoever wants food, including Yaakov and his sons, have to come to Yosef. Yosef is the bechin of Ma'av Hashpa. And we know that Yosef is the darga, is the bechin of Tikkun HaBris, Bris Mila. And we know Bris Mila is the koyach of Hashpa. That's why his name is Yosef, because Yosef means Yosef, to continue, to add, to be Mashpia. And that's why Yosef HaTzadik is the bechin of Tikkun HaBris. And that's Mashpia to Malchus. In as much that Yehuda yearns to get the Hashpa, Yosef yearns to be Mashpia. Yosef is the one who's born, that's why his name is Yosef, to continue to be Mashpia. Therefore Yosef HaTzadik has the terrible nisyonos with the Eishes Poitifa. And when you read Midrashim, it wasn't a one-time nisyon that he had once that she closed him up and she said, boy, you have znus with me. Every day Yosef went through the worst nisyonos of znus, the Midrash says. All the girls in Egypt would change their clothing a few times a day and appear before Yosef, that Yosef should look at them. Yosef is the one who's metaken the taiva of znus. Why? Because it's Yodua and it's a pasuk in Vayikra and Perek Chof, pasuk Yudzayin. But the pasuk says, "V'ishki yikach esachoy soy chesed hu." Znus is a misusage of the mid of chesed, where somebody's mafkir himself to be mashpia. Znus is a clip of chesed. That's why we know Yishmael. When Yishmael didn't want the Torah, why? Because it says in the Torah, "Loi sinof." You mustn't have znus. And Yishmael is the son of Avram, and Avram was the pillar of midas HaChesed, and Yishmael was the clipper though. Yishmael is channeling off his father's mid in the wrong direction. In the same way that Esav was a murderer because he misused Gevurah, because his father Yitzchak's mid is a Gevurah. Avram was Chesed, Yishmael channels it off, and when you channel Chesed in the wrong direction, it becomes Znus. A big Baal Chesed battles with the Yetzirah of Znus, and that's Yishmael. So therefore, Yosef HaTzadik is the middle of Yisod. He wants to be Mashpia. He wants to be Mashpia. And therefore, he has this terrible tie and Yisyonis in Mitzrayim. Because Znus is a clip of Chesed. But Yosef HaTzadik only wants to be Mashpia to Kedusha. And if he wants to be Mashpia Kedusha, do you know who he wants to be Mashpia and where he wants to be Mashpia? He wants to be Mashpia to the middle of Malchus. Because the Yisod is Mashpia to the Malchus. And that's the Klal. And therefore, he wants to be Mashpia to who? To which one of the brothers? To Yehuda. He wants to be Mashpia to Yehuda, because that's the Yisod, that's Mashpia to Malchus. And therefore we know that who's going to eradicate, who's going to destroy Esav? Yosef. That's why when Yosef was born in Parshas Vayetzeh, Yaakov said, right, let's go now. Yosef is going to destroy Esav. Do you know why Yosef is going to destroy Esav? Because Esav says, I don't need Hashpa. Yosef is the one who is the koyach to be mashpia the hashpa, and Mela, therefore that's why Esav is poigim in Yosef. Yosef wants to be mashpia to Malchus. Is therefore that's why Yosef is going to destroy Esav, because Esav is stopping. Esav is in the middle of Malchus, but he's saying, I'm the type of Malchus, I don't need hashpa. And Yosef wants to be mashpia to Malchus, and therefore that's why Yosef is going to destroy Esav, because Esav is poigim in Yosef. That's why the Malach of Esav was poigim in Yaakov in the Gid Anoshe. But the Gid Anoshe say the Rishonim is the Bris Mila, because that's where Esav is poigim. Yosef wants to be Mashpia, but Esav doesn't let him, and therefore Esav is the one who's going to destroy. Yosef is the one who's going to destroy Esav. So therefore, it's Yedua when the brothers came to Yosef HaTzadik, and Yosef HaTzadik invited them all in, and he made them a meal. The pasuk says in Miketz Perik Mem Gimel pasuk Tezayin that the pasuk says, "Hobeis anoshim abaisa utvoyach tevach v'hochein." Prepare him a meal v'hochein. Chazal learn out from here that this is that Mikan Gemara says she Yosef Shemesh Shabbos. Why? Because Tvoyach Tvoyach V'Hochein is Erev Shabbos, preparing for Shabbos. Yosef Atzadik is the Erev Shabbos that prepares for Shabbos. In other words, we know there's a klal that Mishatarach B'Erev Shabbos Yechol B'Shabbos. Yosef Atzadik is Mashpiyat Shabbos. Yosef is the middle before Malchus. So Yosef represents which day? Friday. And somebody who prepares for Shabbos on Friday, he has what to eat on Shabbos. So therefore, Chazal learned from this pasuk, give me Kate, Mikan Yosef was the Shemesh Shabbos, because he told them all to prepare everything on Erev Shabbos. What does this mean, Boimek? The depth, the Oimek of this is that Yosef Tzadik is the mid of Yisod, the sixth mid, which is Friday, and he is desperate to be Mashpia to Malchus. And Malchus is Shabbos, that's the beginning of Yehuda. So Lechoira, if that's the case, then Lechoira, what's the problem? Where was the animosity between them? Yosef is desperate to be Mashpia to Yehuda. Yehuda has the feeling of he needs a spark because he hasn't got anything of his own. So Lechoira, there should have been the greatest love and harmony between Yosef and Yehuda. One wants to be Mashpia, one wants to be the receive the spark. Ma baya. Who can guess what the problem was? You know that say that this week's parsha of Yosef ben Shvas Rishona. Shvasra is the gematria of Toiv, and Toiv is Hashpa, because we know that the pasuk says in Bereishis Loi Toiv Heyoyis HaAdam LeVadoy. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Chava, why? Because otherwise there's nobody to be Mashpia to. So therefore, if a man hasn't got a wife, says the pasuk in Bereishis Loi Toiv Heyoyis HaAdam LeVadoy. It's not good. A man can't be Toiv if he hasn't got a wife, because he needs to be Mashpia. So the Koyach of Hashpa is the Koyach of Toiv. And Yosef was 17 years old, because 17 is the gematria of Toiv. So this parsha begins that Yosef is desperate to be Mashpia. He wants to be Toiv. He's Shvas Rishona. What's the problem? Yehuda sells Yosef as an Eved. Yehuda says, I don't want your Hashpa. I'm taking away the koyach of Hashpa from you. What is that? What is an Eved? Hashpa or opposite of Hashpa? An Eved is somebody who doesn't have anybody to be married. He hasn't got any of his own resources, and he's totally reliant on his master being Mashpia to him. So Yosef is the Makor Hashpa. If you sell him as an Eved, what are you doing? You're making him from the Makor Hashpa to the Makor of a Makabal Hashpa. He hasn't got anything of his own. Kol Mashakona Eved, Kona Rabboi. Whatever an Eved has automatically belongs to his Rabboi. So Yehuda dried Yosef up. Yosef has the Koyach of Hashpa. Yehuda dried up that Koyach of Hashpa. And by the way, the Arizal says that Yosef ben Shva is Oisius Yovesh. Because Shvas Rishona is the Toiv, is the Koyach of Hashpa. Says the Ari that Yehuda wanted to dry that koyach of Hashpa up, and therefore that's why he dried up. He didn't let Yosef be a Mashpia, and he sold him as an Eved, where an Eved is the opposite of Hashpa. He becomes a Mushta. What? Why is it? Because Yehuda tells Yosef, I don't want the Hashpa from you. When are you Mashpia? When is Yisoid Mashpia to Malchus? Only during in the years of Golus. But let's say on the Shabbos, Malchus gets reunited with its Baal, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kav Yochel. It gets its Hashpa directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. On Shabbos, Yehuda wants the type of Hashpa where he's going to be once and for all reunited with a Makor Hashpa that goes straight up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu without having to come through Yosef, without coming to Midas HaYesod. Yehuda says, go to Mitzrayim. There you can be a Mashpia. In Golus you can be a Mashpia. But Yehuda was trying to push through to the Tkufa of the Achris Hayomim, where there won't be a Yosef, where Mashiach ben Yosef will die. Why will Mashiach ben Yosef get killed, Lasid Lavoi? Because he won't be needed. Why won't he be needed? Because the Hashpa of the Nekeva will come from the Zohar. The Hashpa of Klal Yisrael will come directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Yosef is only in Golus, and that's really what happened. Now, Yosef in Mitzrayim, from an Eved, from the opposite of Hashpa, he became the Makor Hashpa, because that is his Midas HaYesod. He became the Makor Hashpa, and all the brothers had to go to buy from him, because when it's in Golos, on Shabbos, we have a special day where we get a Hashpa directly from the Baal, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol. But in Golos during the week, you need to get Hashpa through Yosef, and therefore, Yehuda, Rega, it's not yet the time. It's not yet the time. You yourself are going to have to go down to Mitzrayim to buy food and to get food from Yosef. Because meanwhile, you Yehuda, you still need the Ashpa. You are Malchus Yehuda, and you still need the Ashpa from the Midas HaYasad, which comes before. Lasid Lavoy Beseda. That was the animosity between Yosef and Yehuda. Yehuda said, Yosef says, I'm still needed. I am meanwhile the Koyach of Ashpa to Lasid Lavoy. And if I'm desperate to be mashpia, just like you're desperate to receive hashpa, let me be mashpia to you, let you receive my hashpa. Yehuda says, I don't want hashpa from Yisod. I don't want hashpa from Yosef. I want to go straight through to Malchus, to Mashiach ben David, Liosid Lavoit, after you're going to die already. And to get hashpa directly from Hashem. So are we living through first the Golas, that's Yosef? Or are we going straight to Liosid Lavoi, that's Yehuda, who's trying to push through to go straight to Liosid Lavoi? And that's why Yosef is acting out Malchus. Salsul Besaroi, a hair is like a crown, a Nozir is called a Nozir, because the Nozir is Meloshon Zer, and Zer is a crown. Yosef wants to be the Melech, because Yosef wants to be Mashpia to Yehuda. But Yehuda says he's the Melech, and he doesn't want Yosef's Hashba. But Yehuda meant to Lashem Shemaim, of course. Yehuda Bavadai was yearning for the Tzom Alecha Nafshi. Kom Alecha Besori. Came by Kodesh Chazisicha. Lirois Uzcha Chvedecha. That's the Pasuk in Tehillim. The yearning of David HaMelech is the yearning of Shabbos. Is the yearning of the Shia Shirim of Shlomo HaMelech on Shabbos. David HaMelech dies on Shabbos. David HaMelech is born on Shabbos. David HaMelech, the Shabbos Tikkun. David HaMelech represents the David of the Tikkun. And that's the ticket that Yehuda wants to go straight there. But the time is not ripe yet. There's got to be a Golas, and there's going to be a Golas. And in a Golas, we will have to get our Hashpa from through Midas HaYisod, through Yosef. And therefore, Taka, that's why all the dreams came true, and Yehuda was the, and Yosef was the Mashpia. Meanwhile, Lasid Lavoi Met Hashem, Mashiach ben Yosef will be done away with, and then Mashiach ben David will be reunited with our Kodesh Baruch Hu. So that's basically the idea of Malchus, Malchus of Kedusha, and Malchus of no Kedusha. And that's why the emes is that we see that whenever there's an idea of Mashiach, it only always comes through Chorban. When do we find Mashiach being mentioned? Always when there's a Chorban. Always when there's nothing left. Always when we're reduced to absolute nothing. When the Bria is reduced to a voidness and an emptiness, that's when Mashiach ben David comes along. As the Pasuk says directly straight away in the second Pasuk of Parshas Bereishis. Moritz says, "Toye v'voye v'choishech al pnei sahaim, v'ruach elikim, merachefes al pnei amoyim." And what's v'ruach elikim? Brings down the balaturim. V'ruach elikim merachefes b'gematria zui ruach shel melech haMashiach. In the pasuk of Toye v'voye v'choishech, that's where you'll find Mashiach. Where else do we find Mashiach? Stoim is destroyed. And Lot has Nus with his daughters. That's the Nitzot of Mashiach being born. Because where does Rus come from? Moav. And Chazal say that after the stone was destroyed, now a Nitzot, a spark of Mashiach, had come out. Whenever there's destruction of some Metzias, that's when we can't have Mashiach. Where's the next one? We know that Mashiach was born Leil Tisha B'Av. By the Chorban Beis HaMikdash, that's when Mashiach was born. And where is Mashiach today? He's sitting by in the gates of Rome, as we quoted once in the Gemara Sanhedrin there in Sariches. Now that he's poor, he's ill, he's sick. Whenever there's that, sorry? He's with the lepers, excellent. He's suffering pain, that's Mashiach. Why? Because Mashiach is only going to come in a tkufa. Whenever there's a Giloy Mashiach, it's only when every previous existing Matzias has been erased and destroyed. When any feeling that there is a dependent Matzias, that's been destroyed, then Mashiach can come. When there's Choshech, when there's Toyo Vavoyo Vachoshech al Pnei Sahayim, what does the Pasuk mean? It says, Amar Naim, Va'aretz, Haisa Toyo Vavoyo means when the Aretz feels that it's on its own. In the first pasuk of the Torah, Bereishis Bara Elokim es Hashamayim es Haaretz, which means the Haaretz yearns, it's together with the Shemayim. But the Haaretz, when it's on its own, it feels itself independent. Then it's Toyev Avoyev V'Choyshech. Then the whole world is reduced to total voidness. And then Baruch Elokim Racheves Pnei Amayim. Stoim, they felt that they were it. Shali Shali V'Shulcha Shulcha. When they were destroyed, is then the Nitzot of Mashiach can come. Chorban Beis Hamikdash, when Klal Yisrael sinned and Hashem brought about the Chorban, when we see that whatever is independent is reduced to nothing, then Mashiach can come. That's the tkufa that Yehuda is waiting for. And then that's going to be Lasid Lava Yemetz Hashem. That's why Yehuda has the letters of Yudke Vavke. That's why he has the Dalit in his name. And that's why all Jews are called Yehuda. That's why Mordechai, even though he was from Shevet Binyamin, he was still called Ish Yehudi. Because this koyach of Yudke Vavke, this koyach of us feeling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we're totally dependent on you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's what's kept us alive. This emunah, that Hashem Elisim in Shaol Nafshi. If we feel totally dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then we have nothing to fear. David felt totally dependent. Hashem elisa mishal nafshi, and never David never fears. Gam ki elach begeitz amoves loy ira ra ki ata imagi. When we yearn for the Baal, when we realize that we're yearning for our Kodesh Baruch Hu, when we realize that our source, our shorish is our Kodesh Baruch Hu, and we yearn to be reunited with Him, when we connect to Him, then there's nothing to fear. Jews went through the most tormenting times by this feeling of Yudke Vavke, by this feeling that we're always yearning to be with you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if we're yearning to be with you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we feel connected to you. It's like a husband and wife, where the wife feels part of the husband. She was created from a rib of the husband. Is we know that we are part and parcel of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We are chelek alakai mimal. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we are always part of you and we have nothing to fear. David is Megaleh, that he's nothing on his own. He's part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, David is Megaleh, that lo ira ra ki ata imadi. And whenever we go through the most difficult and tormenting times, it's the Yehudi, it's the Mesiris Nefesh of the Yehudi that always keeps us, that always keeps us. Therefore, Mordechai was the Baal Moiz Mesiris Nefesh, Sakva Efe, he didn't bow to Haman. I'm not scared, lo ira ra. That's the Yudke Vovke of Mordechai. And that's the Yudke Vovke that every single Jew has. Nachshon and Aminadov jumped in the Yamsu because he's not scared. Anybody who carries a Yudke Vovke, feels himself part and parcel of our Kodesh Baruch Hu, has nothing to fear. And that's why all Jews, and it's, we know we be Ika talk about the word Yehudi when we talk about Mesiris Nefesh. When we Moisa Mesiris Nefesh, that brings out the Shem Yehudi. That brings out the Yudke Vovke that everyone comes. That's why people went to their deaths without fearing. Klal Yisrael do not fear. We all have this koyach. And Yehuda is the one who's toil for us in Eretz Hashem, that we should be zocha to be once and for all completely, completely reunited with our Kodesh Baruch Hu. And he's the Makor Hashpo, and he'll be Mashpia to us everything we need. And the more we're connected to him, the more we feel dependent to him, the closer we are to getting the Hashpo from him in Eretz Hashem. But until then, Baruch Hashem, we have a Yosef, we have a Kedushas HaBris, Midas HaYesod, that's Mashpia to us. Meanwhile, until the Yosef Lavoi, where every day,
and that's going to be only direct Hashpah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Meher of Yomeinu, Amen.
The emes is that these two Mahalchim, the Mahalch of Sumerah and the Mahalch of Asay Tov, one can find even earlier, far back, at Parshas Vayetze. Because at the end of Parshas Vayetze, Lavan is chasing after Yaakov, and he comes, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu comes to Lavan in a dream. Vayevayev elakim el Lavan harami in Parshas Vayetze, Perek Lam Dalas Pasuk Chav Dalas. Acholem alayla, he comes to him in a dream. Vayev elay shoma lachol pen to daber im Yaakov mi toiv v'ad ro. Lavan is chasing after Yaakov. Lavan doesn't want Yaakov to leave. Lavan wants Yaakov to remain in captivity in his house because Lavan wants this darubis of toiv ra. Lavan represents the ra, and Yaakov and his family represent the toiv. Yaakov is building the shvatim over here, and Lavan wants the toiv and the ra to remain together as the nochash did to make to cause Adam Rishon to eat from the eitz hadas toiv ra, to mix the toiv and the ra together. Yaakov realizes that he has to separate from the ra, and therefore Yaakov flees. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Lavan Acholem Alayla, when Lavan chases after Yaakov and says, Yishom Lachop Pendadaber Im Yaakov Mi Toiv Ad Ro. Mi Toiv Ad Ro. Don't mingle the Toiv and the Ra together. Yaakov is having his children, and the Shvatim are going to be the Yud Beis Shiftei Kar, which is called the Chazal Mitosa Ishlema. Mitosa Ishlema means that 12 Shvatim Tzadikim Kedoshe Elyon, where there's no Mokum for the Ra to penetrate. Let's explain this even deeper. It's Yaduah that Avraham Avinu had two children, had a Yitzchak and had a Yishmael, had a Toiv and a Ra. Yitzchak had two children, a Yaakov and a Esav, a Toiv and a Ra. But it was time now for the separation of the Toiv and Ra, to keep the Toiv, Klal Yisrael, in one place, and not to mingle with the Ra of the Umas Olam, and then the Ra of the Umas Olam will just disintegrate and will be destroyed, will destroy itself.
And Yaakov Avinu is the one that has to bring about that task. And therefore, by having Yud Beit Shvatim Mitosh Shleima means a Shleimus of 12 Tzadikim without any Ra, that showed that Yaakov Avinu has now finally separated the Toiv and the Ra. And Klal Yisrael represent the Yud Beit Shiftekor, represent the Kulei Toiv that there is in the Bria. And almost the Olam represent the, they carry the Ra that's in the Bria, but they've been finally separated. And that's why Lavan was so insistent, coming back to Vayetzeh, Lavan is so insistent that Yaakov should remain with him, because Lavan wants, while the Shiftekor being born, they should be born together in an environment of Ra, in order to mix the Ra, to mingle the Ra, in order that the Ra, the Toiv, shouldn't be completely separated. And therefore, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yaakov Avinu to leave Lavan's house, it was because Yaakov Avinu now to finalize the Yud Beis Shiftekor, the last Shevet has to be born. And we know that the last Shevet that was born was Shevet Binyamin, and Binyamin has to be the seal to the Yud Beis Shiftekor. And the seal to the Yud Beis Shiftekor means the Chosim, to block off, to lock and to seal any entry from any Klichus or Ra. Binyamin has to be that seal, and therefore Binyamin can't be born in the Beis Lavan. Binyamin has to be born outside, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yaakov Avinu to flee. Lavan understands this, and Lavan sees that Yaakov fled. Lavan chases after him, and that's because Lavan wants, yes, and the Ra should mingle with the Toiv, and the Yud Beis Shiftekor shouldn't be this Yud Beis Shiftekor, and therefore he's chasing after Yaakov before Yaakov manages to give birth to the next tribe, to Shevet Binyamin. And therefore that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Lavan and forced Lavan into saying that Pentadah Shom Lecha Pentadah Be'em Yaakov Mitoiv Ad Ra. Stay away from Yaakov. And therefore that's why the Emes Parshas Vayetzeh ends. And they made a gal between them. You stay on this side, I'm staying on this side, and that's it, I've got no more shaykhs with you. Parshas Vayishlach is the final birur that the Toiv stays on its own with Klal Yisrael, and the Ra stays outside amongst Umas Olam. And therefore we have to sum up Parshas Vayishlach. We would say that Parshas Vayishlach is the Parsha where we find the Goyim or the Koichas Ra trying time and time again to penetrate into the Toiv, but unsuccessfully. That's Parshas Vayishlach. And the Oymek Ha'inyan is because in Parshas Vayishlach, yes, Binyamin is born, and Binyamin was the seal of the Yud Beis Shiftekor, not allowing any Ra to get in anymore. And it's very, very ironic, because we know that Binyamin, Gemara says in Shabbat, that Binyamin is one of the four people who died Be'itav Shel Nochash, which means that he never actually sinned, which means he never even came in contact with Ra, which means that Binyamin, who was the 12th one, who was the seal to keep out the Ra, had to be a candidate who Taka Be'emet in his whole life never came in contact. So because Binyamin never came in contact with Ra, Binyamin represents Klal Yisrael, who really never come in contact with Ra, and even if they do, and even if they sin, it's not be'etzem them. The Ra doesn't, that deep sin doesn't become intrinsically attached to Klal Yisrael. It's a Ra that can be rid of because it's not be'etzem in Klal Yisrael. And that was having a son of Binyamin, like Binyamin, who never sinned, who showed that it's possible never to come in contact with the Ra. He was the chosim of the Yud Beis Shiftekor. And he was born in Parshas Vayishlach. The Parshas Vayishlach is therefore the Parsha of a few unsuccessful attempts to penetrate, to mingle the Goyim and the Ra into Klal Yisrael, but unsuccessfully. Binyamin is now the Choysim and the seal that doesn't allow any enemies in. And therefore Yaakov is out in this week's Parsha to declare to Esav, this Nekudah, that Esav, I'm sorry, let's separate. In the same way as I made this agreement with Lavan, Eida Galah there, I'm not going to come to you, you don't come to me, Esav, let's have the same agreement. As ever Yaakov Avinu sends matonas to Esav, he says, Esav, don't even come to me, I'm sending you the matonas already, take the matonas, be happy with the matonas, I've given you everything, and finish, and stay out of my life. In the same way as he says in Lavan Garati, where he explained, the Rashi says, the Tzub Shotim, Tarek Mitzvah Shemarati in the Beit Lavan. If I, in Beit Lavan, when Garati, the Tarek Mitzvah Shemarati, that shows that I don't mix, in Lavan's house even, I don't mix and I don't mingle. And therefore, Esav, it's not worth coming to me. Let's not get friendly. You won't succeed, you won't manage. The message that comes back is that Esav is running after Yaakov Avinu with Arba Meir, 400 soldiers, to kill Yaakov Avinu. Which means that if Esav heard from Yaakov Avinu that they don't want to go together, Yaakov doesn't want this so-called friendship of traveling together with Esav. Is therefore Esav says, I'm going to come and I'm going to kill Yaakov Avinu, and thereby, through killing Yaakov Avinu, I'm going to kill the Koyach that's not allowing me to penetrate into Klal Yisrael, and I'll force my way in by force by killing him. And don't forget, as we just said before, that Binyamin is not yet born, and Esav also knows that this is his last, final chance to penetrate the Ra, to mingle and mix the Ra of the Eitz Hadaas Tov V'Ra into Kval Yisrael, because he knows that once Binyamin is born, there's going to be no chance for him anymore to get in, and therefore Esav is desperate at his last attempt to do this. And therefore he sends the most powerful koyach that he has, i.e. he sends his malach, Vayivot Yaakov Levada, Vayivot Ish Imo Hadarot HaShachar. The malach of Esav is out to get Yaakov Avinu now. And Vayaki Lo Yochaloi, Vayiga Bekaf Yirecha, where Chazal say that was the Mokum Amila, that's the Mokum of producing of Mitzvah Puruvu, which means that Esav is now trying to contaminate the koyach of Puruvu of Yaakov Avinu, that when he has his last child, he has Binyamin, it should be a Binyamin with Esav's Hashpah. Esav is Dafka, that Mokum Esav wants to be Poygim, in order that when that Mokum produces a Binyamin, is that Binyamin should come out Pogum, which will come out with Esav's touch on him. And as we know, he wasn't successful. Horai, like we said, Binyamin was born, that he never came in contact with Ra. So therefore, that was Esav's attempt not to penetrate the Ra, but Enochanami didn't happen. And after that, Esav comes running to Yaakov Avinu. Vayorat Esav likrosoi, vayichabkehu, vayipal al tzavora, vayishokehu, vayivku. There's a two shot in Bordan. One shot is that Esav, really the halacha is Esav, soynes Yaakov, elu nichmu rachmu, bo'isasho, others say that Esav really tried to bite Yaakov Avinu, and there's a nest, yeah, that he didn't succeed in killing Yaakov Avinu, but Emet is Eilev Eilev Devile Kim Chaim, which means that there are two ways that Esav tries to penetrate. Either he comes by full force to try and force his way in, or he does it in a friendly fashion, trying nicely to force his way in. Either he forces his way in but Gvur, or he does it Bedarki Noyim, but he's a Ramai. He only does it Bedarki Noyim in order, when we're not noticing, when we're not realizing, to penetrate. And therefore, when Esav met now with Yaakov, this represents and this resembles all the future meetings between Yaakov and Esav. That Esav either tries through Gvura by biting, or Esav tries through friendship. But the common denominator is that Esav wants to pour his Ra into us in order to contaminate us, in order that we should internalize his Ra and make the Ra an intrinsic part of us, which brings back to the original Chet of the Eitz Hadaas Tov V'Ra, where there was a mingle and mixture between the Tov and Ra. And this week's parasha Vayishlach, there has to be the final birur that is not going to take place. And therefore Esav says to Yaakov, Vayisav v'neilecho v'eilcho l'negdecho, let's travel together. And then Yaakov Avinu says, no, Yavana Adoni Lifnei Avdoi, we're not going together. Vayoshav v'yemehu Esav l'darkei Seira, v'Yaakov nosa sukoisa. That's the bir. Esav goes back to where he belongs, darkei Seira, v'Yaakov nosa sukoisa. The mitzvah of Sukkot, as we know, is the Havdalah between the Jews and the Goyim. And that's because the Gemara says the beginning on the Sechet Avodah Zorah, and Goyim are called Akum, Ovdei Avodah Zorah. So in the beginning of Gemara, beginning of Avodah Zarah, says that the Goyim are going to later say that if you would have given us the mitzvahs and the same opportunities, we would have been better than Klal Yisrael. Is the Gemara there says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes the mitzvah sukkah and offers it to the Goyim, and Hashem makes it very hot, and the Goyim are boyed the sukkah, so they kick the sukkah as they go out, which means sukkah, the mitzvah of sukkah shows that the Goyim have no intrinsic connection to Klal Yisrael. And after Yaakov Avinu has just told Esau that I'm not traveling with you, Yaakov Avinu has brought out this gilui that we don't go with the Goyim, we don't share anything with the Goyim. Yaakov Avinu goes straight to sukkah, to the mitzvah of sukkah, that's Megala, the Kedusha of Klal Yisrael, and it's Megala that the Goyim don't really have any intrinsic shaykh of the Chlal with the Toiv, only with the Ra. But the mitzvah Sukkah is the mitzvah of, like we know, we bring up Korbanos, the Purim, the first day, the 14th, the second day, 13th, every day of Sukkah we go down, and they represent the Goyim, the Hismatos, the Umas Olam, and the Dveikos of Klal Yisrael, and the Tildrim, and the Nusa. So mitzvah Sukkah is the greatest Abdullah between Klal Yisrael and the Umas Olam. And therefore, that's why Yaakov goes straight to Sukkot to prove his point after having finally separated himself from Esav. Esav sees that therefore he can't. There's no way that he's going to get into Klal Yisrael. There's going to be Yud Beis Bonim Shleimim Mitosu Shleima. And therefore, that's why the next step in Parshas Vayishlach is Esav tries another attempt. Esav this time dressed up as Chamor or Shechem. Because we know a klal kebalnu mirabiseinu that all the goyim in all the generations, all the ra from all the goyim in all the generations is all originating coming from Esav. Sometimes Esav shows his own face. Sometimes Esav has his emissaries, has his messengers, has his shluchim, and therefore here he tries. Esav disguises himself. You know, yeah, he knows that Yaakov Avinu is going to recognize him, and Yaakov Avinu is not no way going to try to mingle and mix with him, and therefore he's mislabish into Shechem ben Chamor. And now they're going to start with Dinah, because Dinah is the daughter, the Yud Beis Donim, the 12 sons of the Yud Beis Shiftei Kav. There's no way of getting in through them. Binyamin is going to be born and he's going to be the seal, and there's no way they're going to get through this chosim. So therefore the Esav decides to dress into Chamor, to be slabish into Shechem ben Chamor, and they're going to start out with Dina, perhaps through the daughter that managed to penetrate into Klal Yisrael. And Vatidbat Nashu b'dina b'arabat Yaakov, Vayevas Anara, and then Chamor, the father of Shechem, comes to Yaakov and he says, let's marry our children together. Tnu oisa li loy le isha. Let my son marry Dina. Vizchatnu isona b'nei seichem titnu lono. Vizbnei seinu tikhu lachem. In other words, let's mingle, let's intermarry together. You see, if Mamish Befeir is another attempt to mingle into Klal Yisrael, this time through the daughter, through Dina, and this time through Shechem, and not through Esau, but it's the koyach of Esau that's mislabish into Shechem. That is trying to spread his ra, contaminate us again with his ra. And Be'emet, there was somewhat of a haplacha over here. That's why Shimon and Levi, we find him taking such a swift vengeance against Shechem, because the Ra is something that we have to push away. The Ra is something that has to be destroyed. The Ra is like the soil of Azazel that has to be thrown off the cliff. And if they try to mingle their Ra into Klal Yisrael, that Ra has to be destroyed. The same way as all the various of Klal Yisrael throughout the year, the Ra that penetrated Klal Yisrael, that mingled with Klal Yisrael, we take that Ra, all the various, and we place them on the soil of Azazel, and the soil of Azazel has to be destroyed. Is the same thing that the Shechem who try to bring their Ra into Klal Yisrael, is we have to take their Ra and we have to destroy it. And therefore Shimon and Levi took such full vengeance and destroyed and the Shechem. And therefore, straight after that story, again we come back to that after they killed Shechem, is Bnei Yaakov bo al achalolim vayevoyzo yesh etimu achosom, they started taking the spoils of the city. And vayeme Yaakov obeisoy vel kol asher imo yisiris aleha necha asher betzoyichem v'hitiharu v'achlivosim l'seichem. What's the point of taking spoils if you kill them just because you don't want shaykhes with them? Is what's the point of taking their spoils? And therefore, that's again another bechina showing, proving this point of the chisod of Parshas Vayishlach, of clearing away from us any keshen, any shaychus, any slight bit of shaychus that we might have had with the Umayyad Ha'olam. And then after that in the parasha, finally Binyamin is born, and Binyamin represents the Kedusha in Klal Yisrael that never sins. That, in other words, that even with Klal Yisrael do sin, but the chet is not an intrinsic chet, because there's a Binyamin around. The Binyamin shows that Klal Yisrael are not shaykh be'etzem to chet ho'raya, he never sins, and therefore any Jew who does sin, it's not an intrinsic sin, it's a sin that can be washed off. And that's the Yisrael of Binyamin. And therefore Yedua, the Kodesh Kadoshim was in the chelak of Binyamin, because the Kodesh Kadoshim was the mokum where Aaron HaKohen went into on Yom HaKippurim to show that, to be mechaper for Klal Yisrael, to show that all the sins of Klal Yisrael throughout the year were not the etzem intrinsically part of Klal Yisrael. Binyamin is the mevara of that, and therefore the Kodesh Kodshim is the mokum of Binyamin, because that's the mokum which is mevara every Yom Kippur that Klal Yisrael have got no real shaykhus for. To Chet, which is that biru, is Bizchus Yosef and Bizchus Binyamin, and therefore when Binyamin was born, that's like at the end of Parshas Vayishlach, and now there's the final biru that there's no ra ever going to get into Klal Yisrael intrinsically, and even if it does, there's going to be a kapara and Kippurim to rid us from the Ra, because the Ra never really belonged to us be'etzem. And therefore the end of Parshas Vayishlach is the Misa of Edoim, all the Melochim ve'elam Molche Edoim, and the Misa of Edoim. Vayomos vayimloich, vayomos vayimloich, vayomos vayimloich. Because when the Ra has no unika from the Toiv, when the Ra doesn't sap from the Toiv, when the Ra's got no kesha to Toiv, the Ra can't exist. Like we say in Davening on Yom Nerom, Chol Harisha Kula Ke Oshon Tichle. All the Ra is going to disappear like Oshon. Oshon is smoke. Smoke just disappears, just vanishes. It's got no Messiah to stay, to be key, to have Kiyim. Ra has no Chiyas, has no Kiyim. Because there's only HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kulei Toiv, Kulei Lehetiv, and Hashem is the Makor HaChaim, Ki Imko Makor HaChaim. And therefore that's why the Ra always tries to get into the Toiv, because the Ra needs the Toiv to be able to survive, to be able to get Chiyas. Again, in other words, Parashas Vayishlach is mevara that the Ra really doesn't have be'etzem shaychus with the Toiv, and because all the Chaim is with the Toiv and the Ra doesn't have Chaim, so therefore that's why the Ra is really represents Misa. And Dafkin Parashas Vayishlach, which illustrates that the Ra doesn't really have be'etzem anything to do with the Toiv, therefore Parashas Vayishlach ends, if the Ra has got nothing to do with the Toiv, then the Ra is Risha Kula Ke'oshem Techla, it doesn't have any Kiyom, it's not a real Matthias. And Vayomos Vayimloich, Vayomos Vayimloich, Vayomos Vayimloich, and that's the end of Parashas Vayishlach. You have to sum up Parshas Vayishlach in a nutshell. Parshas Vayishlach is a big no entry sign. No entry sign to the Ra from the Umos Olam. And that was Parshas Vayishlach was Mazar. And therefore, with this Yisod, with this Hanocha, we understand the Shir we just gave much better. Parshas Vayesha begins with Vayor Vayosef, is the Gosam Ra'el Aviyah. Yosef says, what's going on over here? Hari, the whole tachlis of Pashas Vayishlach was to be mevara that there's no ra in the brothers.
No ra.
The yud beis shiftekah. And therefore now Yosef is saying, how can it be ra amongst the brothers? And especially the idea of zilzul b'bnei shvachos that Yosef HaTzadik was so sensitive to, as Rashi brings down. Because zilzul b'bnei shvachos means you're saying that there's no yud beis shiftekah. If they are b'nei shvachos, it means they're shaykh also to the goyim. The goyim also have a pshutvus from them. As we know, shivcho is not a full Jewess. And therefore they're saying ke'il, there is shaykh, there is entry to the koichos hara. And that goes against the very, very pashut vayishlach. And therefore that's why Yosef is really sensitive to this and really wants to erase the ra that is amongst the brothers, the koichos hara that have seeped in. He wants to erase them, eradicate them, and push them away. Yosef is saying, once you give your nika to the ra, is you're being yonik, you're being mechayah, the malchay edoim, who at the end of Parshas Vayishlach were dead, vayomas v'yimlach, but you allowing the ra, by you being mezalzel l'shvachas, by you making the breach, and a gap that the koich of the ra can get into, you're being mechayah, those malchay edoim, you're asking for trouble. That's why Yosef is so sensitive, and that's why Parshas Vayishav begins with this machlekas between Yosef and his brothers, how to get the ra out. Because that's the Teichno Inyan. Vayishlach already established that there isn't Ra, and therefore we see that the Ra does seep in, is we have to see how to get it out. Yosef had his path of getting it out, and Yud had his path of getting it out. But that's how Parshas Vayishav is a Hemshach to Parshas Vayishlach. And Vayishlach is a Hemshach to Parshas Vayetzeh. This is a long Seder, the long sequence of events. And with that we end what we wanted to say on Parshas Vayishav, B'siyata D'shmayim.